Commission, staff, ladies and gentlemen, Planning Commission is now in session. We have a few rules and procedures we'd like you to follow. First, everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and address clearly for the record. Those in support of the application will be heard first, then those opposed will be given the opportunity to speak. After that, the applicant or representative has a chance for rebuttal, and then after that, the someone opposed may surrebut what was presented in rebuttal. After all the hearings have been heard, after all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the applications, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with the decision, you may be able to appeal the decision to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Commissioner, will you lead us in the flag salute?
Please stand. Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May we have roll, please?
Chairman Abrahamian?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chatha?
Here.
Commissioner Yule is absent. Commissioner Quist?
Here.
Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Okay, first item on the agenda is the consent agenda. These are to be considered routine in nature and not likely to require discussion, unless someone in the audience or the commission would like to pull it for discussion. We have one unclassified conditional use permit, number 3693. It's a first-year time extension. Is there anyone on the commission or in the public that wishes to discuss this further? It was the first item on consent agenda. It's unclassified conditional use permit, number 3693. It's a first 1 year time extension, and we would just be discussing the extension. Okay. And that's the only item on the consent agenda. And for the record, Commissioner Wolf is present. So the chair will entertain the motion to adopt the consent agenda. Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Chatha and a second by Commissioner Quist. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 8-0. Okay, then we go to the regular agenda where we have public presentations. This portion of the meeting is for anyone who wishes to address the commission on anything that's not on our agenda but within our jurisdiction. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to address the commission? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, tentative tract 6323 and initial study number 7847 filed by Strom family proposing to allow a subdivision of a 12.2 acre parcel into five parcels, each containing a minimum of 2 acres in the rural residential zone district. The subject parcel is located on the northeast corner of East Ashland Avenue and North Adair Avenue, approximately 3.6 miles east of the city limits of the city of Clovis.
There we go. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Jeremy Shaw with the Department of Public Works and Planning. The subject parcel in this case is located in an area characterized by low-density residential development and limited agricultural uses. The proposed subdivision consists of five individual lots, each containing a minimum of 2 net acres consistent with the rural residential development standards. These lots are required to be served by individual well and septic upon development. A tentative tract map may be approved only if 5 findings specified in the Subdivision Map Act and in the County Subdivision Ordinance are made by the Planning Commission. And these 5 findings are as follows: that the map is consistent with the general plan and any applicable specific plans. Finding 2, that the site is physically suitable for the type of development proposed. Finding 3, that the design of the subdivision or subsequent improvement would not cause adverse environmental effects. Finding 4, that the subdivision would not result in adverse effects on public health. Finding 5, that the subdivision would not conflict with public access easements. Based on the analysis, staff was able to make all 5 of the required findings and therefore recommends adoption of the negative declaration prepared for initial study 7847 and approval of tentative tract map number 6323, subject to the included conditions of approval and project notes included as Exhibit 1 of the staff report. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff? Okay, thank you. Is the applicant here would like to come forward?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, for the record, my name is Rod Strom, representing the property owner, Strom Family LP. I concur with staff's findings. I have one minor comment, and that's regards the fire protection system. It says a pressure tank. Just clarify, that will be a hydromatic system that regulates the flow to the gravity storage tanks that have been agreed upon with the fire district. Otherwise, that's just a clarification point. Be pleased to try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Is staff okay with that explanation? Any questions of the applicant?
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Strong.
Yes, 5100 North 6th Street, Suite 117, Fresno, 93710.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anyone else here to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the commission for a motion, which can be found on page 13.
I can make the motion.
Commissioner Chata?
I'll second.
Okay. You make the motion as recommended by staff? Okay. And so we have a motion by Commissioner Chata, a second by Commissioner Arabian. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 8-0. Next item.
Regular agenda item number 3, variance 4148, filed by Audrey Oliver, proposing to allow the creation of 2 substandard size legal parcels, a 5.18 acre and a 4.49 acre parcel, from an existing 9.67 acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The project is located on the northeast corner of the intersection of West Jensen Avenue and South Blythe Avenue, approximately 1.5 miles west-southwest of the nearest city limits of the city of Fresno.
Jeremy, before you start,
yes,
Commissioner Chair, Quist.
Due to the proximity of this parcel to where we farm.
Okay, thank you. We'll get you when we're done.
Okay. Good morning again, Chairman and Commissioners. Jeremy Shaw with the Department of Public Works and Planning. As stated, the subject parcel is located approximately 1.5 miles west of the city of Fresno, in an area zoned for agriculture and characterized predominantly by agricultural production and some scattered residential development. The applicants propose to divide the property, which would result in the creation of 2 approximately 5-acre parcels in the following configuration. In order for the commission to approve a variance, there are 4 findings which must be made, and in reviewing the subject application, staff's recommendation to the commission is that required findings 1, 2, and 4 cannot be made, as there were no apparent unique physical circumstances or attributes related to the property. The owner enjoys the same property rights as the owners in the vicinity with the same zoning, and the proposed subdivision is not consistent with the goals and policies of the general plan. Finding one, that there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances applicable to the subject property. These are typically interpreted to be physical attributes such as size, shape, topography, or other natural features. In this case, staff was unable to identify any unique physical attributes relative to the subject property which weren't typical of surrounding properties. Finding two, that the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation of a substantial property right of the owner. Staff was unable to identify any limitation on the owner's ability to develop the property for its intended purpose by virtue of an extraordinary circumstance or physical attribute of the property, such that by the strict application of the zoning ordinance or development standards of the zone district, their ability to develop the property would be inhibited. A substantial property right refers only to those development standards or limitations on development imposed by a particular zone district. The applicant's findings point to the existence of other parcels within a 1 mile radius, which are 5 acres or less, as justification for allowing the division of the subject property. However, the existence of other substandard sized parcels in the area established under different zoning does not create a precedent or implied property right whereby other owners may subdivide their property to be consistent with those other substandard size parcels. Finding three, that the property will have no adverse effects upon surrounding properties. Staff agrees that while there may be potential for cumulative adverse impacts to agriculture from further subdivision of parcels and the potential for increased residential density, this single project is not expected to result in adverse impacts to surrounding properties. Therefore, finding three can be made. Finding four, that the proposal is not contrary to the objectives of the county's general plan. The goals and policies of the land use element of the general plan seek to promote the conservation of productive and potentially productive agricultural land and support the viability of agriculture and to restrict the creation of parcels less than the minimum acreage for the zone district, regardless of current size. In this case, though the subject parcel is already substandard in size, further division would allow the potential for increased residential density and is discouraged. In summary, staff cannot make recommended finding one as the variance is not in response to the property's unique features. Rather, it is based on the applicant's personal desire to divide the property. Staff cannot recommend making finding two as the owner's substantial property right to develop the property for its intended use is not inhibited. Staff cannot make recommended finding four as the proposed development conflicts with the objectives and policies of the general plan which seek to protect agriculture. Therefore, staff recommends denial of variance application 4148. This concludes staff's presentation. I'm happy to address any questions on this agenda item.
Any questions? Commissioner Wolf.
Do you mind looking at Exhibit 4? I'm just confused on this existing land use map, and its proportions just seem off to me, and I'm missing something. Exhibit 4, and it's a single family, it says 7.5 acres, and then it says 10 acres. It's just not making sense. Will you look on
That was created for a financing parcel, and it wasn't split per county standards.
The assessor's map is a little, it probably shouldn't read 10, it's probably 1.0. It's not obviously 10 acres, that small piece. You're right, the proportion, it doesn't look right if you read that as 10 acres. It's not a total of 17 acres
So this is
sometimes assessor's maps aren't the most accurate.
Okay, so this is really, we should just void this particular one completely, and we're talking about the larger square.
Correct.
And we're ignoring that smaller square in the lower right-hand side.
Yes,
it's a portion of the project, but the total acreage is 9.67 acres.
Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions? Jeremy, could you put up the overhead satellite view again? Do you have something larger that? I I mean, something that gave more detail to the property.
Detail of the site itself?
Yes.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, good enough. Any other questions of staff? Okay, would the applicant come forward, state your name and address for the record, or the representative?
Good morning, Chairman, a member of the Planning Commission. My name is Mike Hamsey with Harbison International, Inc., civil engineering company located at 2755 East Shaw Avenue, Suite 101, Fresno, California. I'm here representing Mr. Oliver. Mr. Oliver came to us to help him do a lot line adjustment originally. The legal description that was given to us representing having two legals on the property. There's existing two homes, an old home that Mr. Oliver used to occupy and a new home at the corner that he's occupying right now. And we discovered after we talked to the planning department that that property was created just for financial reason to get a loan on that house. Mr. Oliver's getting old, and he was planning to give the second house to his daughter, who's a nurse, and so she can remodel it and move in and keep on farming. We're not trying to develop anything. We're not adding any new homes. We're not creating any other additional work, except we're going to keep farming the property. The only reason we asked for the lot line adjustment is to, for able to get financial loan on the existing house, the old house, so she can refinance it and buy the property and take care of the land, because she's going to be inheriting the land or buying the land from her dad, and also take care of Mr. Oliver, who's getting old in his old age. So we ended up meeting with the Planning Commission, and they're very helpful with the planning staff, and they requested to do a parcel map because this parcel that's existing right now in the legal description wasn't a legal parcel. So we submitted a tentative parcel map to split the property into half, and the reason for that split is to be able to give one of the parcels to his daughter so she can move in, take care of him, and keep farming the land. We're not creating anything. We're not building anything. We're not doing anything outside the circumstances. So our finding were for personal reason and to keep on farming. So they asked us, instead of going in with the tentative parcel map submitted right now, to ask for the variance. The finding that we submitted is based on circumstances that affect the property owner. They do not meet the requirements of the new general plan and new zoning that was changed recently. So if you look at the properties in the neighborhood, we have more than 29 parcels who are less than 5 acres. So what we're asking is, please consider approving this for the benefit of the property owner and to allow to keep on farming on the property so his daughter can move in and keep farming it and taking care of the property. If you have any question, I'll be very happy to answer it.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the speaker? Commissioner Carver?
So if I'm understanding right, the first split that's not like a legal parcel, that was done in order to be able to get financing for the one house, correct?
I was told it was done to get financing, the bank to give him a loan for that parcel. So if he goes in right now to get the loan to remodel the other house, they will not allow it because it's one legal parcel. So
the bank has changed their laws on lending?
And the bank will not give you another loan because you already have a loan on the property. They consider it as one parcel.
So why did the initial split happen of the smaller?
He had another loan prior to that, and the bank had given him a loan on the house to build a new house, and that's why they created this, and it's just for financial reason. Now, if you can go in to get another loan to remodel the existing house, the bank is not going to allow you. The second bank will be in second place, and they will not give you a loan. So you have to create a separate parcel to be able to get financing so you can remodel the house so his daughter, who's a nurse, can move in and keep on farming the property and taking care of her elderly dad.
Got it.
And we had got support, 5 letters from the adjacent neighbors, from the adjacent farmers. Mr. Oliver been farming this property for 30 years. He's going to continue farming it as long as physically can do that, and his daughter can step in and take it in. It'll stay with the family. Yes.
Mr. Hamsey, talking about those letters of support, those 5 letters, none of them have addresses on them. So could you point to exactly where those, they just have people's names. So where are those letters of support written from?
I will ask Mr. Oliver to answer that question. I will ask Mr. Oliver to ask to answer this question.
Okay,
those are neighbors
you.
That provided those letters.
Any other questions of the speaker? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask staff, I know we have the letters of support. Was there anything in opposition that you received, calls or letters?
No, we have no other correspondence on the project other than what you've received.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next speaker.
Chairman, board members, I'm Keith Kaligian. I live at 8467 West Kearney Boulevard, Fresno, California. I'm here to support Mr. Oliver in the to split his property so he can get some health care from his family member. It's very important. When I was 30, it wasn't that important to get health care, but as I'm getting close to 70, I see how important it is, and it's a blessing when you can get a family member to give you that health care. I'm very familiar with this property. I went by it every day going to grammar school for 8-9 years, and the property they're talking about, it's each house has its own separate well, has its own separate septic system. It's two separate units for all practical reasons. It's not one unit they're trying to split and take the well going to this house and that house. It's a one block right now that both units have their own water source, septic source, so it's so easy to split it to the middle. And I'm an ag person. I'm very concerned about dirt. That's what I make my living. But this doesn't change yet. I've been by the parcel for many years. They're going to split in the middle and keep farming their parcel. They've had it in vineyard before. Now it's in open crops. And, you know, a little bit about Mr. Oliver. He's a man of his word and a man of honor. And I'm really proud that he's a friend of mine. And I came here today to support him. And I hope you guys can give him consideration. If you have any questions, otherwise, thank you so much for your time.
Any questions? Commissioner Wolf.
Mr. Kaligian, do you mind showing us with the pointer where your property is in relation?
Are you familiar with Kearney Park? My property isn't adjoining his property.
So you're not adjoining?
No.
So you can't show us on this map?
Well, I could if it went farther west, but I'm about a mile and a half from that property.
Okay, so you're just a personal friend. So what I'm trying to find is if anybody is the adjoining properties that are these letters are from.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody here.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. And next speaker. Whoever wants to go first is fine.
My name is Juan Navarro. I'm across the street from Mr. Oliver.
You had one of your, let's see, you had signed one of the letters in support.
Yeah, in support.
Can I get your address, please?
1730 South Blythe, Fresno, California, okay. 93706.
Okay, thank you. And you're here in support.
Yes, sir.
Right across the street. Did you have anything to add other than supporting his application?
It's exactly what it is. His family wants to help him out and so, you know, splitting the property. He's been a very good neighbor, you know. He's the kind of person that really any of us around the area know him, and we ask for a little help sometimes with his disking or whatever, and he never asks for anything. He just goes right up and does everything. I'm blessed to have him as a neighbor. I wish I could say he's done so much for her that I tell him, how can I help you? He said, no, I know, but he's that type of person that'll bend over backwards for all of us. So that's all I can say.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Thank you very much. Sorry. Next speaker.
Good morning. My name is Alan Vieira. I'm here speaking upon behalf of my mother, Carolyn Vieira, who lives at 1910 South Blythe, directly across from Mr. Oliver, and she fully supports his request. It would have no bearing on the neighborhood as far as anything negative. And they have been great neighbors for well over 30 years. But she's just asked me to, give her full support for Mr. Oliver, and I the same. So.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? So, if there are no other speakers in support, I'll ask if there's anyone here in opposition to this application. Seeing none, I will close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and motion. When I first looked at this, I had some concerns, and I understand why staff would recommend denial based on what's on paper. But, after hearing the testimony and looking into it a little further, I think I can make the findings to support this. But I'd like to hear from the rest of the commission to see what their thoughts are.
I think I can make the findings based on what I've seen, and also the fact that it's not going to change things. That it's a lot line adjustment, although it's a variance. I do see the special circumstances with the health reasons and mm-hmm. caregiving.
And normally that's not the reason
right.
that would support something. But looking at the property, how it's already configured with the, it looked like you already had the. Farming part to the north, which will stay in farming, where the one residence is that I believe the daughter would live in, and that the applicant will be in the other portion. To me, that's some exceptional circumstances there. I think there's a property right there too with regards to being able to live like that. You could say, well, they could sell the whole parcel and move somewhere together, but that's not, to the applicant, it's probably not an option. If you've been farming for 30 years, you want to keep doing that or have someone in the family doing that. So I'm going to make the motion. Okay, I wanted to ask staff, too, in making the motion to support, looking at some of the conditions of approval. And we didn't ask the applicant this because, just didn't come up. But one of the requirements, conditions of approval, is a 30 by 30 foot corner cutoff area. What's the purpose of that? Is it just for potential future use?
The Road Maintenance and Operations Division asked for that as a site distance safety provision.
Okay, which is, so is it that they don't want the applicant to develop anything within that cutoff corner?
Correct.
Well, what if instead we put a condition that they don't develop anything permanently or anything that would affect the have a visual impact on that corner? I know Jensen's a busy street, Blythe is not. You want to make sure somebody stops. You want to make sure they can see oncoming traffic. But to take it away from, it's a takeaway from the owner of the property. Could we instead say, let's keep that area clear?
That's up to the commission's discretion. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if it's part of Streets and Highways Code, that be left clear. regardless of whether the county has interest in it or fee title?
Well, if it was dedicated to the county, would that keep him from, say, planting trees right up on his edge of the property?
I don't know the answer to that, honestly.
Well, I think if we may, I would like to include in, as take that condition out, but just ask if we can substitute it with, there won't be anything permanent built, whether it's an orchard or something that would affect the vision for, if that's the concern.
If I might just clarify, if I hear what you're saying is you'd like them to be able to retain the property, but to preclude anything that would cause the visual impairment. So, you know, just because it's temporary doesn't mean that it wouldn't be. I can temporarily put a tough shed in the corner, but I can't see through it. But I can put a low, I can put all sorts of agriculture down low. I can have my pony, whatever. So if we can, if you'd like, we can craft that to say that will make it either an easement to, so it doesn't obscure any visual impairments on the circulation.
That would be fine with me.
Okay.
If it's fine with, let's see, who did the second? Okay. Maybe I didn't ask for a second yet. Okay, so so I made the motion to, as described, and I believe the findings could be made with regards to finding four, which I didn't address. I think, on paper, it doesn't meet finding four, but I'm looking at the intent and the actual effect that this application has on preservation of prime ag land and being in an AE20 district, which this is already a substandard parcel. So I can make that finding as well. Commissioner Hill, you were seconding the motion as I described?
Yes.
Okay, any discussion? Commissioner Wolf.
The only thing I was thinking about is that mitigation measure that you're talking about altering a little bit. I'm wondering if the condition of approval, the original one, which was the 30-foot by 30-foot corner cutoff, dedicated, maybe the neighbors maybe they're all in agreement that should be left that way because they know what's happened in that neighborhood and they know if there's been traffic accidents, they know. I'd like to ask either Mr. Hamsey or the owner, is this something that seems like it makes sense that should be there and you were okay with it to begin with?
Thank you for allowing me to answer this question. This condition came in usually from traffic and safety. So whenever we develop any major intersection, there's a requirement for 30 by 30 feet, not allowing anybody to build in it for visibility so you don't have any traffic. Making the request to deed the property right now, I don't think this intersection is going to be developed in our lifetime. We're looking at maybe 20, 30 years from now or 40 years from now. I would recommend that condition will be, as the chairman recommended, not to allow any building or any structure or not even any big trees in that location. As the property stands right now, that 30 feet by 30 feet, Mr. Oliver is not doing anything with it. It's vacant. It's empty. We have a couple power poles in that area, and we have a small ditch area that where the water collects from the county road onto his property. So my recommendation will be to not to allow any structure or put in any big trees or any plants, and at the future date, it will be a requirement when the county road department determine that they need 30 feet or 20 feet or whatever they need, then it will be dedicated.
Okay, thank you very much. I will close the public portion of the hearing again and bring it back to the commission if we're ready for a vote. I will ask for a roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Okay. Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chatha?
Yes.
Commissioner Yule is not present. Commissioner Quist is recused. Commissioner Wolf?
Yes.
And Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
This item carries 7-0 with Commissioner Quist recusing himself. So this is final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number four.
Regular agenda item number four, unclassified conditional use permit number 3765 and initial study 8404 filed by Lisa Gendel, proposing to allow an unmanned freestanding 100-foot tall monopine style co-located wireless telecommunications facility on a 76.68 acre parcel within the RR Zone District. The subject parcel is located on the southeast corner of West Shaw Avenue and Grantland Avenue, adjacent to the city of Fresno to the north, south, and east.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Raimundo Peraza. I'm a relatively new planner in the Land Use Division. I'll be presenting four agenda items for you today on behalf of Elliot Raskusen, who is out of the office and was unable to make it here today.
What's your first name?
Raimundo. Okay. Agenda item number four is an unclassified conditional use permit to allow an unmanned freestanding 100-foot tall monopine style co-locatable wireless telecommunication facility. We sent notices out to the general public 15 days before this hearing, and we received no notices either for or against on this agenda item. This slide is to show you where this site is located within the county of Fresno. The slide here shows the location map. It's on Shaw Avenue in Grantland. You can see a little dot there that says Highway City. It is zoned rural residential. The white portions of this map are the city of Fresno, and to the west is zoned AE20. Currently, this is an orchard with surrounding single-family residences around the parcel. This site plan is showing you on the left. On the right-hand side, it is showing you where the tower is going to be. It's on the lower left corner of the parcel. And then on the left side of the slide, it shows you aerial view looking down on the tower, showing you the access from the road there to the tower. Here's another aerial view showing you the transmitters that are on it. The cabinets that will be adjacent to it. This is a monopine tower, so it sheathes with branches to make it look like a tree, a pine tree. It will have a 8-foot chain link fence that is slatted with green or earth tone colors to make it blend into the surrounding environments. Picture of the ground, elevations of the facilities on the ground. Utility design shows that it will be accessed through power from a PG&E pole going underground to the facility to power the facility. Existing coverage in the area, it shows the green shows indoor, yellow vehicles, and then that would be the new coverage with the new tower. So a lot more wireless communication in that area, but better communication for that area with the tower. This is a view looking from the north, looking south to the property. Shows what it looks like now and how it will look once the tower is erected. Same thing, but from a different viewpoint. And to approve these, they have to meet five findings, and we think that they meet all five findings. Size and shape, yes. Streets and highways are adequate for use, yes. No adverse effects in the neighborhood, yes. General plan consistency, yes. Conditions necessary for the public health, safety, and welfare, general welfare, are all yes. That concludes my presentation for this agenda item.
Okay. I have a couple questions, if I may, Armando.
Mm-hmm.
Did we have a map, maybe I didn't see it, showing where the city of Fresno is in relation to this application?
I don't believe we have a map. The close-up view shows the surroundings there, showing the white areas as the city of Fresno.
The white areas, the city?
Yeah, the white areas of the city. So this is right on the border of the city of Fresno. It touches the border of the city of Fresno there.
So the development to the west is still in the county?
Yes. There's
quite a few homes in there?
Yes.
On page 7, under analysis, finding number 3 says project site is an established residential neighborhood and abuts Shaw Avenue to the north, single-family residences to the east and west, but I didn't understand the rest of that sentence.
West. With recreational and elementary schools to the north and south, respectfully.
So should it be and? There's, you have a recreational, what's recreational there?
Oh.
That's quite a ways away from there. That's not adjacent.
No, it's a,
no.
I don't, I mean, it's, I'm familiar with the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's still farmed across the street. And I believe that's where, if that's Grantland and Shaw, there's a little vegetable stand there across the street. But I just wasn't sure when it said recreational to the north and south. I know Central Unified has, on Grantland, they have their educational complex and stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be south of the property. So
that's quite a ways from
elementary school.
Elementary and high school, but that recreational thing threw me off. But unless they mean because of the stadium or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be what Elliot was referring to.
Really, the question was just to make sure it's not surrounded by city. The other question I had was, will there be a light on this tower? It's 100 feet tall. I know we have other applications for towers later, but we're not talking about those now. But I was trying to see if this was one that the FAA requires a light.
I don't know. We do have the applicant here that could speak more to that. But there is a condition that was specified that if there is lighting, it would have to be louvered to deflect the light from.
No, I'm talking about like a beacon.
Oh, like at the top of the tower?
Yes. Not the lower lights.
Yeah, that.
All these have to go through the FAA, right, for approval? Or is it only a certain height?
Well, I think sort of the height makes a difference. But I think it would still be reviewed by the FAA. Is that correct?
I thought they all do. And the FCC, right? The
FCC?
I think it might be a red non-blinking light.
Well, I've seen blinking ones. I've seen white strobe. Now, just wondering what type would be recommended here. Sometimes if it's not in here and you have people in the neighborhood say, well, it's going to look like a tree. That's okay. But if all of a sudden at night you have a strobe light flashing.
There are certain standards they have to adhere to, and I don't know those particular standards. However, I do know that one of the issues is you don't want to put a incorrect collision avoidance light on something at the wrong elevation, because then it creates a false sense of the elevation, and the pilots can be confused, and particularly if there's fog or other issues involved.
That makes sense, and I was just wondering what that elevation is.
That I don't have.
But the applicant may know that. It's not in here that a light is required.
No, that would be a regulatory issue we typically wouldn't address. It's either required by the FAA or not.
Have they already been notified about this?
It doesn't go through us. It would be part of the regulatory process when they pull their building permits. They may or may not have a process. FAA has their own rules. The applicant probably is more familiar with their day-to-day and can tell us a little more.
Okay, any other questions of staff? Mr. Carver.